Station Space, Slashdot Radio.
So you're listening to the freaky baseball version of Geeks in Space.
It's the seventh inning stretch. It's time to get up, have a beer.
Get down.
Go to the bathroom because you've been drinking, you know, one beer per inning.
Take me out.
When was the last time anybody here went to a baseball game?
Last summer.
2 years
minor
ago.
Minor league.
Yeah, I went to a minor league like 3 years ago.
I think it was probably 1988.
Hey, are we going to a minor league game?
Yeah, it's something.
No, it's a college game, dude.
No,
yeah, it's
a college game.
Yeah, it's a college game at the minor league stadium.
Pro Thunderball, including the seventh inning car.
But I'm not going because I think I'm getting dilated that day or something.
I'm not going because I have to go get pictures taken for my parents' church directory.
What?
You see, they...
No,
they
no way. The pictorial directory.
Like I'm still going to church with them. So so I'm at least going to be in the church photo album.
You are kidding me.
Son,
nope,
please
not.
Come along.
My dad did that to me,
this
too.
Facade.
Like, this, my sophomore year of college, when I was living the dorms and hadn't actually, like, gone to church in, you know, like, 2 years or something.
Can we turn off the damn 303 at this point?
Gosh. No, that's, it's important, parents, to, you know, the kids are still doing those.
It's not as much things. About church, it's more about creating the illusion that you have a family. Because
yeah.
As best as I can tell, once you get to,
the
like,
GIMP
age 40...
has allowed me to create... Oh, wait.
Well, yeah, that's actually... Kathleen was getting mad at me when we were in Australia because I didn't want to take... I didn't want to, like, have strangers take pictures of us. And I'm just like, all right, Photoshop them together when we're done. You know, that's how families should really operate. All families should be handled in post-production. You know, you can be anywhere
right.
in the world, and you can be just glued back together. Hey, you're listening to Geeks in Space.
Yes, you are.
You claim those fake families as tax dependents, you know, because that date is right around the corner.
I actually have one
taxes.
Photograph where there are 48 dependents of me in that photograph. And if the IRS asks, look, here are my 48 dependents.
Little Robs.
Sure, they all
Rob's
look alike.
Rob's head on babies' bodies.
Sure, they look exactly
twins.
The same. Yes, I had decaquintuplets four times.
But now I don't have to pay any taxes.
It's actually the government is paying me now.
Ah, you're getting child support.
Right, from
yes.
the U.S. government. I'm
Rob,
in welfare.
Rob's house has been renamed Rob's Little House of Rascals. And it's judicious use of duct tape and plywood that allows
him
to take
care of it. They all have the black bowl haircuts with the little alfalfa squirt sticking out the top.
Are you going
to
use those food stamps?
I thought you were just dipping their heads in Nair every 6 months.
Well, you know, don't tell that to the welfare people. They think that's wrong.
Funny how things can be wrong.
So this is a very special Geeks in Space. It is the first episode in our new location,
aka Rob's basement.
Hey, it's fun.
It is. It's a lot more intimate down here.
Right, it's a little squishy.
Meaning I have my head in Cowboy Neil's armpit because that's the only place the microphone will fit.
And Rob keeps goosing me.
Yes, but the odor, it's a scented musk.
How would you know?
Well, does the average Geeks in Space listener know that I don't have a sense of smell?
Maybe they will now.
Well, now they know. Here's your Rob trivia, your Commander Taco trivia. I don't have a sense of smell. Yes, I can taste. But I don't know if I have a weaker sense of taste than you. Okay, because I've never tasted how you taste.
And in our continued effort to remove Rob of all of his senses, this afternoon he's going to go to the eye doctor and get his eyes so dilated he will no longer have vision.
The
I'm
next
hoping,
one is touch, which
yeah,
is going to be harder.
We're
going
to remove
the
all
isolation
of his
chamber.
Skin.
The isolation chamber?
No, dude, we're just going to take all your skin off.
That'll be interesting.
My laptop is booting. It's
okay, so
recovered.
First of all, we should introduce Ooh. Ourselves. I'm Rob Commander Taco Malda.
I am Jeff Hemos Bates.
I am Jonathan Cowboy Neil Potter.
And I'm Mixmaster Nate.
And I'm joined by Matrix the Cat.
Yeah, the cat is eating Nate's feet, or Potter's feet. Jeff is having a special adventure today. His laptop has joined the realm of the deceased.
It was Thuxor!
It's undead. He's gone to live with King Kai and his little planet.
His laptop has gone into the next
hopefully
dimension.
Hopefully, once we get some Dragon Balls, we can wish his laptop back to this dimension.
Yeah, because the stickers on it are really pretty key.
And today's helpful hint, when the drive when it tells you to mount your drive read-only, mounting read-write, listen, it's not kidding. That's one of the rules.
Rules.
I know, rules are made to be broken, but you break them and you pay the price. Your laptop has to
be. I don't
know,
system log daemon's kind of loading right now. That always takes 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take good care of your hard drive. Actually, my hard drive flaked out last week for no apparent reason. I'd done nothing different to it. But, like, the Lucent cards, the wireless cards.
Done nothing different, but I have stopped beating it against the hood of random cars.
Yeah, I stopped using it as a frisbee with the dog at the beach, you know, because after
but
about 50
so
or 60
light.
Times, it, you know, the dog comes back with dripping saliva on it. Now, for no apparent reason, just suddenly I started getting IRQ conflicts. I mean, I've used this, I used the card for weeks, and then suddenly, you know, it just refused to boot because it was conflicting with the hard drive or something.
Maybe your Win modem decided that it was suddenly going to work under Linux, and it demanded an IRQ.
Pay attention to me! Pay attention to me!
It was all going to raise up and stop being oppressed by the man.
God damn it!
And yesterday, I tried to suspend, and hardcore crashed. So that's my VIO nightmare story.
So it's a VIO hell week.
My VIO nightmare story is having your sound drivers load and lock the machine up, but only after turning up the microphone all the way so that it feeds back and squeals.
Have to love that sound.
It's my favorite noise of all. So, hey, there's some news happening that we can talk about.
No, there's not. It's all fake. Life is fake.
The news basically right now is in two big groups. One group involves Napster, Nutella, and all that. It's a big, complicated mess. And not only is Metallica suing Napster, but Napster is also being banned in various cable modem areas.
As well as various universities. The other good stuff.
The cable modems have a valid complaint. The usage policy specifically states that you can't run server software. And, you know, technically, you know, we're dealing with peer-to-peer software, but, you know, they could make a case. Now,
server.
I have a pretty significant issue with that. I mean, I don't think that anybody should be able to say, you can't run server software. They should be able to say, you can only use 500 megs a month or something.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever
you
their number is.
You have to pay additional for your bandwidth.
Right, but saying you can't have a server is dumb. I mean, I like I go to the office, you know, and I run X applications off my laptop at home. My laptop at home being a X server. Oh, my God. You know, should I be banned for that? Napster, obviously, it gets more complicated because there are other issues with Napster. Like, say, for example, the thousands of students stealing music. But
you know, one of the interesting things that I've seen lately with Napster is a lot of universities are publishing their bandwidth usage.
I saw some cool charts.
And
it's like 25%.
Oh, a lot of ones I've seen are 40% are Napster.
It was, I was looking at the graphs from UW, and I don't know what the W stands for, but it was UW, and they had charts, and they showed that Napster was consuming the same amount of traffic as HTTP.
That's pretty cool.
So it only took a few months, but ta-da! We're now as important as the web. Congratulations to the guys who wrote the code, sweet hack.
Yep.
You've wasted as much bandwidth as the web, and quite frankly, I'm envious because I thought I was doing a good job wasting bandwidth with Slashdot.
But, you know, well, I was thinking that a way that we could really turn Geeks in Space into a big profit-making venture would be to get people to pass it around through Napster and then sue Napster for unauthorized distribution.
Okay,
of Geeks in
that's
Space.
Your new that's your new
that's homework.
Homework is that you have to launch Napster or Gnapster. With Geeks in Space MP3s and trade them with your friends so that we can make a lawsuit.
Has anybody ever actually checked if Geeks in Space is on Napster? Now I'm kind of curious.
I imagine it's only like the first 10 minutes of each episode. Because, you know, you're always, I'm getting this song, yeah. And then the guy's like, no, you're not.
I'm
sorry, my dial-up account has ended.
Sudo apt get install Napster. Ah, oh, crud, I have to download it. I don't even have time. I don't really care. We're on the ISDN line here, so it's not very quick. There should totally be a Napster server for Geeks in Space. I mean, as we are, perhaps, we are at least among the elitist of the online radio shows.
Yeah.
We are Elite Hexor 2. How's the laptop coming, Hemos?
It's good. I'm actually logged into my home machine right now, and I
did you get X up and everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
Woo.
It only took like 20 minutes of F-sucking your machine.
A big round of applause. Welcome
super
back to this
sweet
dimension, laptop.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I'm doing I launched Napster now, and I'm doing a search for geeks.
Yeah, I'm trying
I'm just not getting anything.
And I was just going to load. I did it. Actually, I had it installed. It just, it updated. But I don't know what my username and password is, because somebody took Commander Taco. So I have no idea how to log in.
I think you should be Moldar.
You know, I've used Moldar in many places over my life, and I don't think it's ever a good idea.
Well, I might just have to publish some Geeks in Space MP3s on Napster. That's just going to be how it's... Because, you know, it's not going to work if we can't sue Napster and make millions of dollars off this audio endeavor.
Make sure you lie about your connection speed and put it at T3 so people will download from you.
Yeah. Yeah, look at us.
Yeah, Potter is a part of the reason that Napster has proven to me things. Oftentimes on Friday nights, he'll deliberately put up the first minute to songs and then just cut off after
just
that.
Yank off the 90 people who try to download
he
them.
Actually has about 9 gigs of 1-minute songs that he routinely puts up on Napster for people to download.
But the beginning is the most important part anyway, right? You know, because... I mean, that's...
Hey, Matrix, stop eating the...
cat decides to eat the cords, great.
The cat is eating the headphone cords
that's
right now.
That's nothing, dude. He drooled over my laptop earlier. But, of course, it's a cool laptop, so I couldn't really blame him.
Yeah. Okay, so next in the news. Let's talk about the news.
Actually, you know, that is a good idea. I just thought of this. I kind of derived it from the discussion. If the audio industry really, or the MPAA really want, MPAA, the RIAA, there's a lot of double A's, wants to destroy Napster, all they do have to do is run like 1,000 clients that have just bullshit in them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, someone wrote an article about it that, their hypothesis was, well, the MPAA really doesn't want to break Napster because otherwise they do this. However, they failed to account for the fact that, I guess it's the RIAA. I don't know. Someone
one of the double A's.
Yeah. The NCAA?
Yeah, the NCAA. The NAACP as well. They said, well, they would just do this to break Napster, but they forget the fact that that probably doesn't occur to anyone within the RIAA to do that.
Sabotage.
If they're using Napster, maybe they're going to download this episode of Geeks in Space.
It's like that Suck.com article where they're all like, you downloaded that music? Huh! Thank you, I pay for mine. That's so uncool to use free music.
Is that the same thing with software? You downloaded that operating system? Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. I pay for mine.
Exactly.
I paid $60 for a copy of Red Hat 6.1. Thank you.
Excellent. Right. Oh, we should also mention while we're talking about Napster and GNUtella, Nate and I were at U of M for the past couple days, and we met up with a guy who Rob and Nate and I knew from back in our BBS
and
days.
Actually, I knew because I used to work with his mother at Donnelly Corporation.
Yeah, that's a little disturbing. Oh, by the way, don't buy Donnelly Corporation. Oh, wait.
What?
I think that was that might be market moving. Anyway.
Well, no, I'm a shareholder.
Oh,
so
okay.
That way I'm just devaluing my own shares at that point.
Dude, you're going to get sued.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm going to sue you. I'm going to buy a share and sue you. Just one.
All right. So anyway, but a guy named David Helder, he's at U of M in junglemonkey.net. It's like GNUtella or Napster, but it's for any type of file, which is kind of like what Freenet is doing and all of that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people doing different stuff in that area, which is interesting stuff.
Who stands to lose probably the most off of the GNUtella and then, you know, the more like the Freenet stuff is the search engines. I mean, the search engines have fundamentally operated under the system where they have a huge mega computer, you know, this big RAID array or whatever of
just having reference to
and
various
web bots crawling
or
everything.
Whatever.
But the peer to peer premise behind like the GNUtella and the Freenet and all that, within 3 or 4 requests, you can get accurate search results, you know, and if it's intelligent about the caching. I mean, why would you use AltaVista if, there was an equivalent distributed system where you knew that the client on the other end was going to be accurate? I mean, Google got my meta tag, a month ago. But why would you even care if, you know, there was some sort of client that actually got the meta tag?
Google, I
now
see, is being closest to this kind of model of all of the search engines. I think it's the one that is ideologically, or, you know, even just the way it's done, the closest to Napster. But yeah, it's still not
fundamentally
quite to that
you just
level.
You have a big centralized massive database and little bots running around and getting all the information. It completely, the game completely changes when
the
server just runs some simple client. And fundamentally, it doesn't have to be that hard. I mean, you could probably do it over HTTP.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just had a standard CGI or something that did it, it'd be pretty cool. Performance things, I mean, really caching and indexing gets
well,
me the trick.
Someone made a GTK front end to GNU, or not a GTK, an HTML front end to Nutella,
mm-hmm.
so that people could just download stuff from Nutella servers over the web, which is kind of cheating, but, you know, it makes an interesting point of, you know, kind of bridging what your normal FTP or web server would do with, you know, your Nutella distributed stuff.
And I'm, of course, you know, you wouldn't be allowed to run this kind of software if you're on a cable modem, you know, because you might be a server, and that would be violating your usage policy, which is another reason why, you know, it's pretty dumb that they're trying to ban server things, because how do you define, you know, server? We're
bandwidth is bandwidth.
Bits are bits. Bytes are bytes. But, wow, we actually talked quite a bit on that, and we may have even said something intelligent.
Probably
which
not,
which would be
though.
A first
I'll
for
try and
show.
Edit that out
right,
in
edit
post.
The intelligence parts out in post.
We create a mental atmosphere.
The Jenny Cam is now 4 years old as of recording. Now, when you hear this, I mean, crap. I mean, it's going to be August or something before you hear this, right? I don't know what the lag time is on these guys. But Jenny Cam is 4 years old. JennyCam.org. She celebrated by being down, I think, because the server has been like
taking
we're
a vacation,
experiencing technical difficulties all morning. But
welcome to 4 years. We're not here right now.
Pretty crazy. You know, the old. There's other comments. You know, that there was the coffee cam. You know, way back. Is that the
yeah,
one, the coffee cam?
The MIT.
Right.
Yeah.
But really, 4 years ago, cam wise on the web. It was the Netscape Fish Cam and pretty much Jenny Cam. So
Jenny Cam's one of the original.
It's pretty scary. You know, you can go like to, you know, one of those cam girl websites now and just see here's 150, 200, 300, probably more of just random chicks with cams. Some of them are free, you know, some of them are porn, you know, whatever.
Subscription.
Some of them charge.
Few are actually good looking. Oh.
And very few of them are good looking.
Hotter.
Unless you're paying for it. If you pay, I find the quality of the woman that tends to improve. But it's not good either way. But it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's a whole net phenomenon that's kind of cropped up in the last 4 years. That's pretty cool. Congratulations to Jenny. I know she probably won't ever hear this, but hey. We also have a homework assignment for you, relating to, of course, kurt@thepope.org. Over the last several months, many of you have done a very good job of doing terrible things.
Flooding his inbox.
And
Kurt has been forced to ban some of your IPs from sending him email.
He's also got a lot of really funny filters running on the server. You know, I've been pretty impressed with you guys with that. So good
Kurt
job.
Kurt actually is now a procmail consultant. So good work.
Due to your bombarding of his email account with, you know, 1,024 zeros.
I think he actually filters out any email that contains the word rash. I think that's one of them. I love that.
That's good, because I thought he was just hating life by this point.
Right. Now, that last week's homework assignment was, of course, to send him 1,024 copies of the number zero. It was pretty funny. I was looking at some of the examples. Some people actually typed them out, and other people just sent source code to programs in various languages that would generate 1,024 zeros. Both
the
were,
Fortran was particularly ingenious.
Yeah, you don't see very many people writing that kind of stuff in small talk these days. The object-oriented zero generator.
I have my zero object with a print method.
Well, your homework assignment this week is to mail Kurt drink recipes, preferably ones that involve gin.
Because Kurt likes his gin.
Kurt's a gin drinker, and quite frankly, he is the you know, the BSI accountant, for lack of better terms. And well, it's tax season, and Kurt's going to be needing to drink something that has a lot of gin in it. So he's a martini man, but you can send your gin-based drink recipes to kurt@thepope.org, and this is your nice homework assignment. You know, you send him a good drink recipe, and, you know, next week we'll have you do something really rude and obnoxious to him, like, you know, send drink recipes 60,000 times or something. But don't do that, because you're knocking down the mail server.
Your drink recipes that use tequila.
Well, that could be... Well, you can send Potter at slashdot.org tequila-based drink recipes.
Oh, crap.
Wished in away again in Margaritaville.
I hate tequila. Do, 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 do.
I only started to hate tequila after my 21st birthday.
How many shots did you have? Oh, you lost count after 10?
Yeah, I lost count. What else do we have to talk about? EverQuest or Sony, whatever, banning the sale of virtual items on EverQuest.
Another crazy one. We've mentioned EverQuest quite a few times on Geeks in Space, as several members of the GIS crew have become ridiculously obsessed with the game.
Although at this point now, EverQuest has a subtitle for me, which is Waiting for Diablo 2, because I have grown so tired with many of the aspects of it.
Like the interface, for example?
Well, like the four polygon trees, I think, is my qualm.
Oh, I talked to a guy last night who has the Diablo 2 beta.
Mm.
And apparently, there's a lot of bugs in it.
Yeah,
but
they
apparently
run under wine.
It's pretty damn stable, and that it's supposed to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yummy. Mm, please, give us Diablo 2, please.
Can you kill NPCs in town?
One can only hope.
Because in Diablo 1, like, I totally wanted to kill Pepin.
So here's the guy that, oh, I hated the non-players in that thing.
What can I do for you? Well, you can take this sword.
Why'd you do it to me?
Okay, you guys can keep blabbering a minute, because I'm going to close the door, because the cat keeps coming in here. I'm afraid the cat's going to eat something. He's actually stepped... I was fiddling around here recording some music the other day. It was bad music, but it was fun. But the cat stepped on the power switch. There we go. Let me tell you how depressing it is when you lose everything that you've been working on. You know, I mean, it sucked. So it's not like it was a gloss, you know, like I'm going to be deeply affecting the world or anything. But still, I had to reboot, and the Mac had to check its disk space.
So now our abode is cat secure.
Yes. Nope. Anyway, EverQuest.
Yes.
EverQuest, the naming convention alone, which Nate can speak to, is totally ridiculous.
Yep. I got yelled at from a GM saying that my name was inappropriate. Now, my name is Miss Fickle, and I'm not quite sure how it was deemed inappropriate, as they gave me enough time to get up to a level 11 monk before they changed my name. But... it's kind of strange, because it's one of those things where I personally feel like if you can't algorithmically discard people's names in the client software, because there are names which you're just not allowed to make. You're not allowed to have, you know, Elvis. But if you're not allowed... Or
Captain Von Killenheimer.
Well, you can't
well,
do that
probably.
Either.
What was Rob 3's name?
Rob 3 was Marilyn Hansen.
Which is pretty funny.
But, and he had to have his changed name, too. Oom-bop. Then he was... What
was
it was changed
told,
to?
Oom-bop. He's now Oom-bop. Marahan.
Marahan.
Yeah, Oom-bop. Which, you know, that's my major problem with...
Oom-bop.
Shut up. My major problem...
Beautiful people.
Shut up. My major...
beautiful Oom-bop.
My major problem with a lot of the... with a lot of the users is like, hello, my name is... Katara, blah, blah, blah. It's
well,
like,
and
well,
so
get a friggin'.
They're just lame-generated D&D-ish pseudo-Dave.
And they're not even cool names. It's not like Mordenkainen or
Slothar or something. Now, and it seems like that the GMs are cracking down this week on people whose names weren't the kind of quasi, you know, Lord
the
of the Rings. Yeah.
Goldstaff, Minister of Light.
I don't know. It kind of made me mad, because there are actually people who don't take the you know, true fantasy role-playing part of the game seriously, and I think that's important.
You know, part of why he couldn't be Marilyn Hansen, that's with an H, was that he was told he couldn't have the name of a famous person, and when he said, well, there is no Marilyn Hansen, there was about a 5-minute pause on that.
And then the guy said, I'm sorry, I didn't make the call.
Yeah, which leads me to believe, you know, there's this shadow conspiracy, you know, underneath EverQuest.
Yeah, I also I'm hoping at some point someone tells me that I can't be Hemos, and then I'm just like, well, I am. So,
well, somebody's logged in as Commander Taco. They took my nick.
See,
I couldn't even have mine.
You ought to just you should just abuse the system and just go in and be like, hey, I want my name. I'm going to sue you, Sony, unless you give me my name.
Yeah, that might be a little hypocritical, considering all the people that have emailed me about Slashdot accounts. I mean, there are I don't have the Rob Malda Slashdot account.
Yeah, this is true, but it's Sony. Come on.
It's fun. They
mess
have deep
with
pockets.
The man.
So speaking of the man putting you down and EverQuest, the other interesting side of the EQ thing is that they've banned the online sale of virtual
items. Before, and actually I knew a guy who did this, you could go online and buy quest items and actually even buy characters for real-world dollars. And, you know, you could easily drop a couple $100 buying some really kick-ass
the
armor.
The Sword of Zenthar.
It's got a +9 against dervishes.
But that has now been banned. Now, I think it was officially, discouraged before.
Well,
and,
of course it's discouraged. And if you're not allowed to be named Miss Fickle, you shouldn't be allowed to travel to a parallel dimension and buy a random weapon from somebody for money that doesn't exist.
Unless King
you're
Kai
spoiling
was
the
in
illusion.
Charge of eBay.
I was trained on eBay.
Their argument is legitimate. I mean, people were getting screwed over. You buy something on eBay, you know, I bought the Hammer of Zinfandar, you know, which, gives you +9 against dervishes. And, you meet up with Xanthar the Black or whatever.
The dealer.
Yeah, the dealer.
Illicit,
deep in the, in the corners of
Freeport, in the Grog and Grub Tavern.
So
the
you're hanging out there.
Will be, I hate
and then
orcs.
He gets in there and then he kills you. You know, and you don't get it, but you sent over your check. And then you call Sony Tech Support.
And
you're
and
like,
complain.
Zothar the Black, you know,
I gave him $150
and he wouldn't give me the Hammer of Zinthar. I gotta get through the Dervish quest.
I heard I was gonna become a level 35 cleric overnight. I paid $2,000. What the hell?
Make money fast. Yeah, but so it's a legitimate claim because they were getting tech support complaints for people who were getting ripped off, which just cracks me up. I mean, who the hell is going to buy a virtual game item from, like, a dealer on the street or something? You know, it just cracks me up. But, you know, I think, if you're going to do that, you deserve it. But it's, I guess, legitimate for Sony to do that. But it does crack me up because there are now trade restrictions between... there's an embargo. What's the right word for it?
Embargo, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Between, the sale of items between the physical and the virtual world. It is... there was a GoodReader comment. It is Snow Crash. I mean, you know, that buying property in the metaverse. I mean...
Yep.
Now, the only problem is that unlike the metaverse, in probably another year and a half, especially if Diablo 2 becomes the EQ killer, the property is going to be incredibly devalued.
Well, I don't know. That's not really
not
a problem.
Not unlike the NASDAQ.
Well, we're into stock moving today, aren't we?
Well, the NASDAQ plummeted. I'm not
again,
saying anything
it's yet. Plummeting
still.
Again today.
Is it? Great. I don't even look. That's the funny part. The only reason I ever know the stock prices is because there's some troll who, like, posts stock quotes into the comments.
and you have to moderate them down.
You are so off topic. Click.
I really like that, how the troll bitches about how no stories are posted about it. It's like, well, you know what? No one is doing any, no one has written much about that.
Yeah. It's been a very uninteresting, uneventful past few weeks.
Well, and I don't know. I probably am violating. I shouldn't say what I think about it.
Well then, okay.
Well, Do we have anything else that we'd like to highlight in the news portion?
Well,
there
was some interesting liability cases.
Cat's trying to break in again.
Cat's trying to open the door.
Let me in. I'm a cat. I need to chew cords. There's a whole lot of electricity need to be
no
bitted.
Pity. We do not gnaw on the network cable.
Jeff wants his microphone to function. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's some liability things, there was an interesting article written, it was, 3 easy steps to taking down a website in the UK, which is kind of cool. It basically amounted to, you call the ISP, and you tell them to take it down, and they will. I guess in the UK...
The defamation ruling has been so broad that...
There's not a lot you can do about it out there, which is a little bit creepy. I did like that the UK censorship group or whatever, they have to host their servers in the US. because they can't say these things that they're saying because they would get censored. Their ISP would take them down.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that a lot of UK law is based on common law, which is, yeah, you know, it's 1,500 years old, but at no point did they actually have a Bill of Rights or anything like that.
Well, and 1,100 years ago, they didn't have an internet.
No, they did, actually. It was
900
just,
years
it
ago
was
they
noblemen.
Did. 900 years ago. No, like 400 years ago, it was like the Gutenberg presses, and guys were like pressing them and running around. It wasn't very efficient.
You said HTTPD.
I'm sorry, no, but you gave me an invalid content type.
They don't have a
go
bill
back
of rights.
To your print
the, run back and
the European Union
grab the 404 message and deliver it.
But they're not part of the EU.
The UK
Britain
is too
has
important.
Done kind of their usual, well, we're kind of Europe, but we're kind of not.
We're an island. We don't count. We play by our own rules. Not that we have any problem with that, you know, because that's politics, and, well, we don't care.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's interesting. The related thing is that the AOL Germany branch has actually been sued for copyright violation because users in AOL Germany have been transferring copyrighted materials. Once again, the ISP having liability issues for the content. Again, the good, the best quote that I read from a user comment was, "I'm going to sue Home Depot for selling the lead pipe that was used to kill Professor Plum." I really like that quote. But it's
Rob's got a lead
same
pipe
deal.
Thing.
I got a lead pipe thing. It's an inferiority complex. It's a whole big deal that we shouldn't get into.
He just wishes he could lay pipe like Ron Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
He should have read the article that I did, because,
Anyway.
Wow, we slipped into the porn references. All right.
Anything else exciting going on?
There's, they discovered a backdoor in some Microsoft web software. Which,
all right.
Big surprise.
Whatever. We describe, that happens all the time. WordPerfect, the Canvas 7 beta, the Corel Canvas 7 beta is out. There's been some issues with that. It basically runs under Wine. So it's not.
What's cool. Canvas 7?
That's the WordPerfect, part of the WordPerfect office, Schmeckus.
Ah.
Which is, you know, eventually.
Microsoft
we have to get
Draw.
It.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Well,
it's
it
not
could
quite
be
that bad.
MS Paint.
Well, there's also Katz's bit on the showdown with the Pinkertons.
The Pinkerton piece was really, really good. The comments on that were great, and Katz has been emailing some of the emails he's gotten from it. Just really.
Why don't you summarize
stuff.
The gist of the story?
Well, basically, he went down to talk with the Pinkerton Corporation and say, you know, hey, look, these are all the things that you're doing that are wrong. And the Pinkerton Corporation...
Such as?
Well, such as... Okay, you're turning high schools into a situation where people are rewarded for being snitches.
What did Pinkerton do?
Well, that's Pinkerton hasn't done anything yet. This is their plan. That's what I'm outlining. Right. Pinkerton essentially is trying to set up a program, and this will happen in North Carolina first, in cooperation with the state government, to go through and set up profiling programs for high school and create records for high school students who are deemed to be antisocial, misfits, things like that.
Which would have pretty much busted all four of us.
Yep. And
no, not Nate.
No, actually,
not Jeff either, because you guys were like well-adjusted.
Well, I was a weirdo, though. Remember, I wore
I
a robe.
I was captain of the football team.
You were not captain of the football team.
Okay.
You never even saw a football field.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's supposed to be people who are different from basically from other
from
people.
From anything.
And you are rewarded for anonymous snitching on your classmates.
That's nice.
Communist
the
Pinkerton, Red Scare stuff.
Yeah, the Pinkerton Corporation keeps these records on people, will sell them to the high schools, but they make... They make absolutely no guarantees for what happens to that information once it leaves the Pinkerton Corporation. They keep the records for life, never destroy anything.
Nice. They should put them on the web, too, so it's like, you know, you can look up
who
the pedophiles
are.
It's
like the Brave New
are.
World Corporation.
So yeah, that Potter kid?
Absolutely.
Not on the football team?
You know how you can look on the internet and find the pedophile data?
Yeah.
For convicted pedophiles? I was talking to a friend of mine who has a kid, and, you know, she heard about that, so she looked it up, and she found out that every pedophile in the entire city of Holland lives within like 250 yards of her house, and she has like a 3-year-old kid, and she's just like, oh,
that's not information that I necessarily wanted to see.
This isn't good.
Yeah, that's just so the Pinkerton Corporation. A couple of problems with their profiling: anonymous snitching, rewarding that, as well as making no security guarantees for their records, keeping their records for life, And,
well, and the fact that, you know, just being different automatically brands you as a threat somehow.
Yeah. I think the amazing part is they do this in a time when violence in schools is actually going down, way down. But,
except if you live in Colorado. You know, I got an email from a sheriff or something from out there, and he was all like, I need to know about this comment. I don't think he realized that the comment was a year old.
Huh.
So, he never called back.
Yeah, it's a situation where it's just totally ridiculous. And Katz went down to talk with him about what they were, you know, well, this is wrong. And they never really actually disagreed with what they were wrong, but their stance was, well, there's a market opportunity, and someone else is going to do it, so we might as well do it.
Fair enough.
Corporatism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the discussions in there were really good. A lot of people, you know, there was not any, you know, the ooh crap and, you know, Natalie
free
Portman. There was,
if you
I mean, it was there,
months.
But
yeah.
it was nice. Proof that once again, you know, that every now and then a Slashdot discussions can actually address the issue and stay on topic instead of degenerate into a bunch of people whining about how much Slashdot sucks. Hey, I have a question for the people in this room. When did Slashdot start sucking? Was it A, when Hemos came along? B, when Andover came along? C, the announcement of the VA merger? D, the
moderation
appearance of John Katz? E, the moderation system?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with
Rob Limo. G, because in the I've been reading the comments pretty intensely lately, and as far as I can tell, it's one of these, you know, like nine random points at each one of them. That's the time. That's when Slashdot started sucking.
For me, it was actually before Slashdot, when it went from chips and dips
to
Slashdot.
Yeah, that's it for me.
My personal leadership.
Totally sold out.
Yeah.
I sold out and had a domain.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
I just find
actually
it extremely
amusing. When there was a database, I think that's when it all went down.
When you went from flat mode to flat text mode to an actual SQL database, that's when it all went down.
Yeah, because before it was all files, and files are always more honest.
Much more leet.
Yeah.
Much more Hacksaw leet.
Anything else?
Well, I guess not.
Well, we actually, I mean, we're running quite long today. We've recorded about 40 minutes.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
We're Chatty Cathy's today.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to Geeks in Space.
Fade music back in.
Ooh. Cut the string, Chatty
we're
Cathy.
We're back to it's freaky, the seventh inning stretch.
Freaky seventh inning stretch.
And now the seventh inning chorus, Pro Thunderball continues.
Take me out to the ball game.
Jose Canseco has walked up to the plate. He's scratching his crotch. He's signaling out to the field.
All right.
Scratching his crotch again.
Well, let's go get Rob's eyes dilated, everyone.
Woo!